Look at 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're reading verses number 30 through 37. 1 Kings 18. And the Bible says, "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as wood contained 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in the order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, Fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed and burnt the sacrifices and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to see a powerful God this morning, a God that we need to communicate with, a God that loves us and cares about us, but there are things that you can bless and things that you cannot bless. Lord, we are reminded on this anniversary of September 11th, that sometimes you can get our attention, and we seem to forget so quickly. 15 years ago, folks were talking about prayer, and 15 years later, it seems like no one's talking about prayer. God, forgive us for our apathy, for our pathetic attitudes, for our lackadaisicalness of not recognizing who you are and our responsibility to you. Now, as we look into your word, Lord, we need to hear from you. America needs you, but more importantly to this old pastor is that this church needs you. And I pray that we would surrender our hearts and lives to you and there'd be no looking back. Lord, bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There was a time in the nation of Israel where Ahab was king, and Ahab was a wicked king. And he had a wicked wife named Jezebel. There was absolutely nothing about that leadership or that family that would remind you of the things of God, or that there was ever a time where that nation ever followed the things of God. Baal was top dog at that time, and all of the popularity and all of the people were following after Baal. I'm reminded that popularity is not necessarily the answer to what is right and what is wrong. Right now, there are 1.5 million Muslims doing what they call the Hajj. It's one of the 5 pillars of Islam. On this day, today, September 11th, 2016, there are 1.5 million Muslims that are in Mecca following after their God. That's 1.5 million people that are dead wrong and without Christ will die and go to hell. It doesn't matter how many people are doing it or what happens to be popular in the day and age. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Numbers don't matter. And there was a day and age where Elijah felt like he was the only man following God. God later revealed to him that there were 7,000 others, but 7,001, if you will, compared to the population of the nation of Israel, was a mighty small number. And I want you to know, and I want you to be reminded, that we will never be the majority. We will never be the ones that everyone will be looking to. We will always be in the minority. And the reality of it is, Christ told us that would be the case. He said that we would be an offense to people, that folks wouldn't like us. And when they beat on us and mock us, they'll think they're doing God a favor. And the reality of it is, there is a group of people, the Muslims right now, that when they beat on us and mock us and kill us, they literally think that they're doing their God a favor. And obviously they are wrong. And so we look at our story today, and there was this great confrontation that came down, if you will, between the Christians and the world, if I can paraphrase what's going on in the Old Testament in today's vernacular. Elijah said, let's just see who's right and who's wrong. And so he drew a line in the sand and he said, all you prophets of Baal, you can set up your sacrifice. And you call out to your God. And we'll see who answers by fire. I'll call out to my God. And obviously you're familiar with the story. And as the prophets of Baal set up their altar and they put their sacrifice on there and they lit no fire under it and they start hollering out to their God. And the Bible says that they hollered and hollered and hollered until they had lost their voice. They were just whores. There's not no more voice in them. I think it's humorous somewhat as they're hollering to their God and they start cutting themselves and they actually jump up on top of their altar to get their God's attention. And I'm thinking, well, I guess they don't figure there's any fire coming anyway. It seemed like that would be a dangerous spot to be in. But obviously it was a total failure on their part. Finally, Elijah said, okay, your turn is over. And we've read the story of where he wanted to make sure there was no trickery involved, no false fire, no Nadabs and Abihus going on with strange fire. He wanted to make sure that there was no chance anybody was saying he was doing anything, and under his altar there was no secret fire going. That if the fan had just been fired, been fanned, something, whatever, made go, then all of a sudden, so he dumped water all over it, dumped more water all over it, dumped more water all over it. Water's running everywhere. I'm always reminded, I've watched the History Channel one time, or one of those science channels, and boy, there's some brilliant people on there, and they said that wasn't water, that was naphtha. It was a combustible liquid. It looks like water, it's clear like water, but it was really naphtha. And I'm thinking, you talk about the blind leading the blind. But anyway, my Bible says it was water. You can mark it down, it was water. And I don't care what modern intellectuals, Jack Isles used to say we were smarter when we were dumber. Boy, that's the truth. So whatever the deal is, obviously we know it was water and he did all of that. And then he prayed. And I want to show you four things very quickly that I think took place. The failure of the false prophets. Elijah stepped forward and led the people in contacting the one true God. And I want you to know, that has not changed. There is one true God. There is only one way to heaven. There is no other way. There is no other God to call upon. And I don't know about you, but if there's one true God, and he says he wants a relationship with me, which he does, and he says that we can talk to him when we want to, and we can get our prayers answered, I'd like to be able to take advantage of that situation. Because I'll tell you, there are situations going on in life where we absolutely need to contact God Almighty. Amen. Where he is the only answer. Where if there's a struggle going on, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but obviously, as I mentioned in my opening prayer, you know, a gentleman, and I won't use names because obviously we go on the internet and different, but found out he's got metastatic cancer. Folks, that's a bad diagnosis. Someone else has heart issues. Those are things that we need an answer from God for. And obviously you can go to modern medicine, you can go to all those things, and we absolutely use those, and we absolutely believe in them. But if you're running to the doctor before you've talked to God Almighty, you've got your priorities backwards. You want to make sure you're talking to him first. There was a king in the Old Testament that became diseased in his feet, and he went to the physicians. And a prophet came up to him and said, because you went to the physicians first, and not to God, you are not going to recover from your illness. Sad to say, America's got our priorities wrong today. Sad to say, some of us in this very room today have our priorities wrong today, and we don't think of God first. Oh, he comes to our mind after a while, but primarily we think of other things first. And with that in mind, you're not going to get your prayers answered. Just want to say how it is. So he did five things very quickly. He repaired the altar, he prayed, he declared his condition, he stated his request, and he watched for the results. The word altar is used 378 times in 321 verses in your King James Bible. In the Old Testament, you'll find every construction of an altar. Many times you will see the phrase, once they've builded an altar, and here's an example of it, in Genesis 12:8, there he builded an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. And called upon the name of the Lord. Say that with me. And called upon the name of the Lord. So they construct the altar and they pray. That was the common sequence that took place. They'd build an altar, they'd put the sacrifice on it, they'd make the sacrifice, and they didn't walk away. A key to the sacrifice was calling upon the name of the Lord. You say, well, Stan, we don't have altars anymore. We don't do that sort of thing. We don't practice animal sacrifice. And you're absolutely right. We don't do that. There is no altar in this church other than what's up front here when we pray at the end of the service. And we call it an altar. But it's not a stone altar. It doesn't have the 12 stones in it that was mentioned in 1 Kings. It's nothing like that. We don't have that because there's no animal sacrifice going on. Because Jesus Christ was the last sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 through 12 says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Say that with me. Once for all. Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the God. We sing the hammer. I don't know that we sing it in this church. It's one we sang growing up. It's an old one. Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus hath bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, Christ hath, or grace hath, redeemed us once for all. Once for all, O happy condition. Once for all, O sinner, believe it. Once for all, O brother, receive it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us, say it with me, once for all. So what's happened is the beauty, I don't know about you, but I love animals. But I eat beef, you know. I'm going to pick on Micah. Micah's been bear hunting. If you want some bear meat, Micah's got some bear meat. Hamburg, sausage, that sort of stuff. I talked to Wendell Calder yesterday, and I obviously Micah came up in the conversation. I told him I was going to send a book to Wendell, and I said, tell you what, Wendell, I'll send a book to you, and I'll send some bear meat to Joan. And Joan said, save the postage. She said... So we didn't move any bear meat on that one, Micah. But anyway, the reality of it is I love animals. I love pets. I've always been a dog lover. I'm so glad that in the year 2016, we don't have to practice animal sacrifice. It's a gory thing. But what we've done, though, is while we no longer offer the animal sacrifice, it was once for all, we have neglected the prayer that goes along with it. And I'd like to say to you today that we're not going to have an old altar built here on the property because it would be useless. But what is not useless and what has stopped that should never have stopped is the process of calling upon the name of the Lord that should have continued and needs to continue. So I wouldn't say, some preachers would say we need to rebuild the altar. What really needs to be rebuilt is prayer in our lives. If you want revival in your life, if you want to see things change at the Cornerstone Baptist Church, if you want to move forward for the glory of God, it will not happen apart from prayer. Because it mystifies me. God wants to hear from Stan Griffin. God wants to hear from Mark Arnold. God wants to hear from William Berrielt. If I could say every one of your names, God wants to hear from you because he loves you. He thinks you are the greatest thing. I'm not making this up. He thinks the sun rises and sets on you. He adores you. He held nothing back from you. He sent his only son to die in your place, to take your place. If he could and he will, there'll come a day when I believe he'll put his arms around every one of us. And figuratively, right now, if you are hurting, God wants to comfort you. He adores you. He loves you. And for some reason, he wants to hear from us. That's very humbling to me, but he does. Five things that I want you to see. Five prayers that need to be said from every person in this room today. Prayer number one is a prayer of salvation. Every person needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. John 3:16 says, he died and he took my place. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And without Christ, you are perishing. You're dying now, and you will forever be dead and dying. As someone described it, as death that doesn't die. Because once you leave this life and you go off into eternity, apart from Christ, you will ever be dying but never able to die. That's scary, folks. Every person needs to pray a prayer of salvation. In this church, we say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. And that prayer of salvation, Jesus Christ, it's an invitation for him to come into your heart and life. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He pays your price. He takes care of your sin debt once for all. It's all taken care of. And based on your faith and trust in him, when you invite him into your heart and life, you are given the gift of eternal life. Incredible. For everyone that's done it, it's worked every time it's tried. Okay? Prayer of salvation, number one. Number two, after you realize the prayer of salvation, then there's the prayer of dedication. Now, some folks will say, you know, Stan, I pray, but I can never think of anything to pray about. Well, I'm going to give you some things to pray about. Prayer of dedication, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, we don't practice dead sacrifice. We practice living sacrifice. And I'll tell you right now, just so you'll, let's just get this off the table. It's a sacrifice to live for the Lord. You will give up some things. Your old fleshly life, oh, I'd like to try that. No, don't. It's no good. The world will say, oh, try some of this. It's really freeing. No, it's enslaving. But you've got to make some choices. And one of the choices you need to make once you've trusted Christ as your Savior is to dedicate yourself, give yourself to the Lord, a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'll tell you, coming to Christ is a life-changing decision. And if you've been with the Lord any amount of time at all, you will recognize that your life now is nothing like it used to be. I was saved at 4 years old. I've been saved for 50 years now. I promise you, based on temptation, who's the comedian says, I can handle anything but temptation. And that's pretty much the way I am as well. I can handle anything but temptation. And based on the temptation in my life and the things that have come along that I would be interested in, if not for Christ, I'd be a total disaster if I was even alive. But dedicating your life, giving yourself to him, he gives you a quality of life that the world didn't give to you and the world can't take away. Number one, prayer of salvation. Number two, prayer of dedication. Number three, there is the prayer for family. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know what? I think, I don't know, maybe I'm all alone on this. Raise your hand. Is the family in danger today? Oh, we agree on that. Well, what are we going to do? Oh, my word. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I got two kids off in college, and I can't pay for it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't figure out how I'll make it. They're both in love. You know how bad that is? She likes a guy, and he likes a girl. Well, that's good. You know? It could be something else. In this sinful world. So I got the A team I refer to, the two older kids, and then I got the B team sitting, well, they're gone. They're in junior church, which is the way they ought to be, I hope. You know, I don't know how they're going to, the older two seem like they got their act together, but you know what, every now and then they'll surprise you. And then you got the little kids coming up that, wow, this is a dangerous world. Who are you going to talk to about that? Well, you know, I talked to my counselor, and we've been working through some issues. How about talking to God Almighty about that? You know, he'd really like to talk to you. You know, grandparents will come up and say, have I told you about my grandkids? And I'll say, no, and thank you. You know? Everybody wants to tell you about all this stuff, and that's great. But you know who really wants to know is God. And he wants to hear it from you. And if you've not prayed for your family, the salvation, the dedication, praying for the family, I'm telling you, I pray for my family every day. And I think they're doing pretty well. I pray God give them a heart for the things of you. My mom is here and she thinks little Cody, the redhead, she thinks he's going to be a preacher. I hope not. That poor kid. But the reality of it is, whatever it is, I don't care what they do. I just want them to follow the Lord. That's all. And I beg God for that. Salvation, dedication. Pray for your family. Then number four is there ought to be a prayer of praise and testimony. God done anything for you lately? You bet he has. You bet he has. The Bible says we're supposed to bring a sacrifice of praise. Now, we don't offer sacrifices, like I've said, but there needs to be a sacrifice of praise, just an offering to God of incredible things he's done for us. And I'll tell you what, if you're sitting at the Cornerstone Baptist Church this morning, chances are you're clothed. Nobody here that I can see naked is the day they were born. Who gave you those clothes? Well, you know, Pastor, I bought those. God provided you with those clothes you have on. Chances are, if you're here, there's a car out in the parking lot that brought you here. Chances are, you may have pulled that car out of a garage before you got here. If you don't have a garage, it was sitting next to your house. There's a few blessings there, folks. None of us look like POW prisoners. I think we're pretty well fed around here. Baptists like to eat. A sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. I'll tell you, every now and then, there ought to be some conversations. I know we're needy people, and God wants to hear what our needs are, but the reality of it is, there ought to be times where we say, you know, Lord, I got it great. I got this smoking hot wife down here, and, you know. You think I don't say that? I do. God knows me. So, well, you know, I don't think I could say that stuff to God. You don't think he already knows? Someone says, you know, I'm upset with God. And I don't know what to do. You need to tell him. Well, I couldn't be that. Tell God. Duh. He knows. He knows. He just wants to know if you'll admit it or not. Talk to him. A sacrifice of praise. It's no sacrifice. But you know, and I don't want to indict anyone. I'm as guilty as you are. Believe me, when I'm preaching these things, I need this. It isn't like, oh, I'm going to tell those people. I'll get them straightened out. No, Stan needs this. I can say all this stuff in a mirror. It's the truth. But I'll tell you, whenever we say, anybody got a blessing this week? Boy, there ought not to be time enough to contain those things. They'll tell you, every one of us ought to instantly say, thank God I'm saved. You're going to die and go to heaven. Somebody ought to be praising God for that. You know why? Because you don't deserve it. Neither do I. You know, sometimes we have a hard time getting along in church. Folks think, well, you know, I don't know about that person, and I'm wondering about this person. You know what? We're going to live together forever. All eternity. Now, beauty is there'll be no sin in heaven, so those stupid feelings that you and I have from time to time won't be there. But the reality of it is that we ought to be thankful that we know each other and we get to serve together and we're going to be together for all eternity. And I'll tell you what, that's a good deal. Sacrifice of praise. Salvation, dedication, family, praise, and lastly, service. And I've been saying to you lately, a prayer we should be praying is looking up to heaven, saying, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And I'll tell you what, God's got a job for every one of us. And I was telling a preacher a while ago, he says, he was asking me, what are you preaching on? What's your sermon series? I don't do series. I do whatever the Lord leads me to, I feel like we need. And, you know, so we've been talking about this. And honestly, this is a revival type of series. But I don't normally do series. And I said, basically, you know, I just preach. You know, my answer is always, I just use the Bible. I just preach out of the Bible. No, really. What do you say? I'm not kidding. I use the Bible. And, of course, that wasn't the answer he was looking for. And I said, well, to be honest with you, I use this. And I said, and a lot of times what I say isn't in my notes. It's just what comes to me. He said, oh, he says, you shouldn't do that. He said, you know. So that's a bad idea, you know. But the reality of it is that if God should be speaking to you, and I'm not saying he speaks to me. Sometimes, folks, come Saturday night, and I'm struggling. Spurgeon used to say, if God doesn't speak to you, don't worry about it. Just get up on Sunday and start, just open your mouth and he'll fill it. I'm thinking, oh man, he had a different relationship with the Lord than I have then, you know. You wouldn't want to hear what I'd have to say if there's nothing to say, you know. Mark's good at that, but I'm not so much, you know. That was a joke. But the reality of it is that God has got things that he wants to use you for. And I've said all that to say, it's not in my notes, but on a regular basis on a Sunday, we have openings of ministry in this church. God's got a job for you. And I'll tell you, there ought to be a waiting list for opportunities for things to do. Sunday night, we're going to start doing clubs. And Word of Life clubs. In 6 years, they tell us, if you stick with it for 6 years, your child or adult or whoever, whatever age group they're in, will get a complete Old and New Testament survey through the Word of God in 6 years. That's a good deal. Bible memorization will be emphasized and rewarded. That's a good deal. You have an opportunity to invest in the lives of young people. That's a good deal. I don't know how the Lord is speaking to you about anything. I have no idea how he's talking to you. And obviously he'll say different things to you than he would say to me. But I'll tell you something. You ought to be asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? And be busy doing it.